I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. We're going to deal with this Fauci advisor email thing in a moment. We'll deal with this pro-life stuff here. We're going to get to some emails. Apparently, they're slapping trigger warnings on the movie Goodfellas. All that and so much more still to come this hour on the final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. I guess final hour tonight. I don't think it's our final hour ever. You never know. With the things we say, you really don't know. It could be any moment. Could be our last. But let's begin here. The headline, I have the audio for you, so don't worry if you're waiting for that. But the headline is, Dr. Anthony Fauci's top advisor bragged about making emails disappear. And before I play you the audio of that, I thought that it would probably be beneficial if I played for you the audio of Fauci himself. You see, he was at Columbia and he was giving a commencement speech. And there's an old saying, you've heard it many, many, many times. Power corrupts. And absolute power corrupts absolutely. That is it's a quote from Lord Acton. It doesn't matter who he was, but it's a Lord Acton quote. Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. One of the things that really, really has hit me over the past few years is the arrogance of the people in our government, in the various forms of government. You know how we always talk about the three characteristics all of our elites, all of our leaders have in common now? No love of country, no connection to normal people, to the real world. And they see themselves as being kings and queens. And I've tried to explain it in that we're not talking run-of-the-mill snobbery here. Not that snobbery is okay. But we're not talking about that specifically. We're not talking about the snotty neighbor girl looking down on the kid across the street because his parents couldn't afford to buy him a new Mustang, right? That's run-of-the-mill snobbery. We're dealing with something that mankind has dealt with forever, in that there are people among us. There have always been and will always be people among us who really do think they're above us. They view themselves as not being, you know, like I said, a little more rich with a better car. They're of a higher species. These people, and you need to understand how these people think, they view themselves as being not only what makes the world go, what changes the world for the better, what can save the world. You are never even considered, even though that's much more what actually changes and saves the world. The things that keep the world together are people who keep their families together, people who keep their lives together, things like that. Everyone doing that, that's actually what moves the world forward. But these people, they can't even relate to that. Have you ever seen a picture of this? I have actually joked about putting one of these up in the studio, just because I thought it would be funny, a portrait of myself, putting some ridiculous, because they have these ridiculous over-the-top portraits of, I'm an old general sitting on the back of a noble steed, and you know, they put my face on there. We've talked about doing it. I probably will do it one day as a gag, to just sit behind me on the wall while we do the simulcast, just as a funny, kind of a ha-ha-ha, look how arrogant I am, funny. You know, I've walked in the home of more than one person who has, it's not that, they're not on the steed, but you walk in the living room, the bedroom, I can picture it like it was yesterday. This guy was giving us a tour of his house. And I almost fell over laughing. We walk in his bedroom, and at the foot of his bed, you know how you would normally have a big dresser at the foot of your bed as you look down over your bed, or maybe if you're rich, you'd have a window overlooking something nice. Or normally, I think at our house, we have a dresser where we keep our clothes, and then there's just a mirror there, right? There's a mirror, dresser, and a normal bedroom decor. I'm doing this from memory, so I would guess 4 foot by 4 foot. There was a 4 foot by 4 foot. We're not talking a little picture frame. Portrait, not a picture. Portrait of the dude. And he was married. Like, his wife slept in that room too. It's not like some bachelor doing a gag, but a portrait of himself. That tells you how people think, and more importantly, it tells you how people see themselves. What's so striking to me about this email thing today, which I will get to in a second, it's not the emails or anything else. It's the levels of arrogance. First, though, let's go to Fauci himself. Listen to this man talk and think about the fact that just a few short years ago, the entire United States of America was handed over to this human being to control as he pleased.
Science is integral to who you and I are. Unfortunately, during the COVID pandemic, significant anti-science forces tragically sometimes aligned with political ideology accelerated in our society and became louder and more entrenched over time. This phenomenon, which feeds on the denigration of scientific evidence and data, is deeply disturbing because the pathway from disparaging evidence and facts to undermining the foundation of our social order is a very slippery slope.
We're going to pause right there. I'm going to let him keep going. He's got a bit more, but did you hear that last part? I'm going to rewind it just a little bit, and I'm going to play it again, and I'll pause it again. Listen to what he says here. Hang on, it takes me a second. This rewind button isn't exactly exact here.
...and data is deeply disturbing because...
This is the part. Listen to this.
The pathway from disparaging evidence and facts to undermining the foundation of our social order is a very slippery slope.
A slippery slope. You start questioning things. Fauci says it's a slippery slope, but it's a slippery slope to undermining what? Did you hear what he called it? It's the most important part of the whole speech. You hear what he called it? It's a slippery slope to undermining the social order. You see, how these people see themselves, and I'm making this about Fauci, but it's about so much more than him. This would apply to all of them. The Bill Gates of the world, the Bidens of the world, you name it. It would apply to all of these people. The social order. We can't have you undermining the social order. It's actually not about facts or science or any of those other things, because by now, Fauci's been proven wrong about virtually everything, and you deranged conspiracy theorist, you've been proven right about everything. But that's not important. The important thing is, in his mind, the important thing is the social order, you see? And what's he saying? What is the social order? Well, the social order is... you are a stupid peasant who will do what you are told and should do what you're told. And who gets to do the telling? Well, Fauci gets to do the telling. He is the cut above. He's the ruler. He's the elite. He's the blue blood. He's the one who knows. You're a peasant. He's supposed to give you orders. And you, the peasant, as peasants always have, you are supposed to follow those orders. But when you start questioning him, then what you do is you mess up the whole social order that he and his friends have figured out, that they've laid out for everything. You see, they've got an order of things. And that order is they give direction. They issue commands. you follow the commands. They are the important people, the people who know. You, I mean, you probably still think the vaccine doesn't stop the spread. You nutball. He, of course, knows. You don't know. And look, we're not even talking about individual cases in his mind. You can hear it in his voice. We're not talking about just COVID or individual cases. He's upset about the COVID thing because what it did was, and I'm going to play the rest of his speech and it'll come into play here. What COVID really did in his mind was they had built these institutions up and they'd built up their thrones. They had these throne rooms and they were ruling over you. And because, of course, they missed a couple things and they made a couple of mistakes. Now you're questioning their authority. You can't question the king. When Fauci and people like him look at freedom-loving people like you who question things, Fauci views you as being a threat to all of civilization. He, the king, will save civilization as long as you peasants don't get in the way of the social order. It's how they see themselves. I'm going to leave it paused right there. You know what? You know what? No. Stop. I'm stopping it. I'm going to start it over when we get back because he's got like a minute left. It's so revealing about how these people see themselves. And then we'll get to this email from his advisor, emails, plural. But first, let's do this. Let's do something good. What's the worst thing you spend $11 on every month? The most wasteful thing. I can think of a lot, to be honest with you. I can think of a sad amount of things I waste $11 on every single month. You know that Tunnel to Towers, they're out there caring for widows and orphans, fallen first responder families, which we have way too many of now, Gold Star families, homeless veterans. Tunnel to Towers is out there caring for these people every day. They do this with $11 a month from you or me. That's what they do it with. That's all they ask for. You sign up to give it automatically. You'll never know it's gone. You won't even miss those pizza rolls that I absolutely did not buy at the gas station for $11 a couple days ago. Go to t2t.org and sign up. $11 a month. t2t.org. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Don't forget, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We're going to get to Fauci's advisors' emails and his, well, all that stuff in front of Congress, James Comer, today. But I want to go back to this commencement speech Fauci gave at Columbia and how revealing it is of how these people see themselves.
Science is integral to who you and I are. Unfortunately, during the COVID pandemic, significant anti-science forces tragically sometimes aligned with political ideology accelerated in our society and became louder and more entrenched over time.
I'd almost forgotten that all the people who were correct, like me, were called anti-science the whole time. Anti-science, that was beautiful.
Phenomenon which feeds on the denigration of scientific evidence and data is deeply disturbing because the pathway from disparaging evidence and facts to undermining the foundation of our social order is a very slippery slope.
That's where I paused it before. Just think about that. You pointing out all the times Fauci lied. I mean, yeah, you were right, and he was wrong about the facts, but what you really did was you undermined the social order. He's worked for a long time to rule over you, and just because he turned out to be wrong about everything, that doesn't mean you should be allowed to just wreck the social order.
And history has taught us that lesson multiple times. During the past 4 years, we have witnessed an alarming increase in the mischaracterization, distortion, and even vilification of solid evidence-based scientific findings and of scientists themselves. At the same time, conspiracy theories arose that became intermixed with these anti-science sentiments. The net result, understandably, was that public confusion was sowed and trust in evidence-based public health principles was eroded. This became crystal clear as we fought to overcome false rumors about the mRNA COVID-19 vaccines during the vaccine rollout.
Remember when, man, I remember it. I just remember so much right now. Remember when Texas, Red Texas, which had closed, I should point out, when Red Texas decided that they were going to do football again. And Fauci ran to the television set. This is one of my favorite Fauci moments. And he said, "This is a mistake. This is a mistake. This is going to turn it. It's going to turn into a huge COVID outbreak. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be, this is madness. It's going to get people killed." And of course, Texas rolled out football and there was no great uptick in COVID, no great uptick in infections, no great uptick at all. And of course, they asked Fauci about it. They went right to Fauci. They said, "Hey, you just said there was going to be a huge uptick and there wasn't any uptick at all." And then Fauci, he starts squirming in his chair, and I forget exactly what he said, but he said, "Well, I mean, there's always there's a lag. 2 or 3 weeks, there's going to be a lag." Another 2 or 3 weeks, nothing. Because he was wrong about every single thing. Maybe he lied. Maybe he's stupid. Maybe he was just wrong. But he misguided a nation. Misguided a president. He, more really than anybody I can think of, is as responsible for the inflation you see. You realize that Dr. Fauci is more responsible for the price of your eggs than Joe Biden, right? He is. The price of your eggs, the mental health of your children. Speaking of children, the lack of education system in this country. What has happened to our education system in this country? How badly it's been destroyed. The vaccine injuries. It was Dr. Fauci, as soon as that vial of poison came out, who was out there on the television set every day during the Super Bowl, everything, take it, take it, take it. It's going to work. It's going to work. Oh, whoops. Did that one dose not work? Oh, got to go in for a second. Take your second one. Your second one will work. Then you have full protection. Don't kill grandma. Oh, what? It didn't work? Oh, dang. Well, I mean, at least it stops the spread. Oh, wait, what? It doesn't stop the spread? Ah, dang it. Okay, it slows the spread, though. It's not stopped, but it slowed down big time. Huge help. Slows the spread. Oh, it doesn't slow the spread? Okay, well, either way, I get it, because you'll feel better. And not an ounce of humility at all. In fact, the man who authored so much pain looks back on it all now. And you know what bothers him about that whole thing? You and your questions and these conspiracy theories you had. Pretty revealing stuff. Now, that was a long lead up to his advisor in the emails. And man, if this doesn't just put a little cherry on top of the arrogance of these people. And this is exactly why I actually want to give him credit. Fauci's as responsible as anybody for making me obsessed with natural herbal supplements. I watch the science community, the medical community, and I watch just how evil so many of them are. It's not all of them, obviously, but I am mortified by the medical institutions of this country. CDC, FDA, all of them. I'm mortified by them. I can't believe I spent 40 years following these people's advice. I believe in nature now, more so than ever. Me personally, when I talk to you about Chalk, the anti-communists at Chalk that sell the natural herbal supplements, I go there first. Whenever anything's bothering me, no matter what it is, Chalk is not my last stop. Well, I mean, I guess I see if Chalk has something. It's my first stop. First place I go, Chalk.com. Go to Chalk. Start taking something regularly. Watch your entire life improve. I personally take a male vitality stack every day, and it's amazing. jessechoq.com. Promo code Jesse gets you a special discount on subscriptions. Chuck.com. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. We'll get to the life stuff in a second. I'm finally, after a very, very long build up, going to get to this testimony today. So what happened was James Comer, he's reading, and David Morins is an NIH advisor, NIH member, National Institute of Health. That's what it is. And I guess I'll just let him speak for itself. Here it is.
Dr. David Morins, a senior advisor to Dr. Fauci for decades, wrote in an email to Dr. Daszak, quote, "I learned from our FOIA lady here how to make emails disappear after I am FOIA'd, but before the search starts. So I think we are all safe. Plus, I deleted most of those earlier emails after sending them to Gmail," end quote. Is that consistent with NIH document retention policies?
It is not.
Does the NIH FOIA office teach employees how to avoid...
Kate, you're wondering, FOIA is Freedom of Information Act. You'll hear politicians and journalists refer to it as FOIA all the time, as if we all know what that means. What it basically boils down to is government records, official government records. In a free country, in a normal country, there are things that you, an American citizen, should be able to have access to, because the government doesn't get to keep secrets from you. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. So if you do a Freedom of Information Act request, they generally have to abide by the request, although they often don't, and hand you the information you're asking for. Whenever they say FOIA, that's what they mean.
Transparency.
I certainly hope not.
He also later wrote Dr. Daszak, and I quote, "We are all smart enough to know to never have smoking guns, and if we did, we wouldn't put them in emails. And if we found them, we would delete them," end quote. Is that consistent with NIH document retention policies?
It is not.
I just want to point out, I'll let him keep going here, that these are the, quote, scientists that Fauci was just complaining that you were complaining about. He was complaining about you, complaining about these scientists, the government scientists who are busy scrubbing their email accounts so you, stupid peasant, don't get a hold of this smoking gun stuff.
Finally, emails show that Dr. Morins would share internal discussions regarding upcoming FOIA releases with Dr. Daszak. He would then help Dr. Daszak craft responses to documents being released in these FOIAs. Are those actions consistent with NIH policies?
If those actions occurred, they would not be consistent. No.
So do these actions concern you, Dr. Tabak?
It does indeed.
What is Dr. Morin's current employment status?
He is an employee of NIH.
He is an employee of NIH. All the bad guys are still working. But you see how they see themselves, right? They know they're doing wrong. And they know you will be angry about it. But you're so stupid and they're so smart. So they just need to delete them so they don't have to deal with your questions. The levels of arrogance. I've said it before. The French Revolution was a terrible affair. And it's nothing you should ever want for your country. Ever, 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 ever. It was awful. Murder, mob violence. It was awful. the people rising up and murdering people in power. It was awful. I pray to God I never experience it. I'm glad I never saw it. I will say, though, I do understand it more than I ever have before. I do. And I'm not saying it like that, Chris. You see how they abuse people and abuse people and abuse people and spit on them and spit on them and spit on them. Very Marie Antoinette, let them eat cake type thing. Oh, I don't care that the peasants are starving. And then you understand better, at least I do now, how that anger in the public could eventually boil over onto these people. You should never cheer for it, but you should understand it more. Jesse, I think the Russians will homestead Ukraine once they take it. Zelensky is committing the suicide of his nation just to stuff his Swedish bank account full and full. Young, loyal Russian soldiers and or private citizens will flood Ukraine and be given Ukraine wives. No need to occupy Ukraine, as Mother Russia will simply take over through the kids. What think you? I think that's brilliant, actually. Look, remember, Zelensky is a dictator. You get that, right? And I'm not saying that that's not radio fodder. They declared martial law. They banned the opposition party, and they've stopped elections. In fact, yesterday, Zelensky's official term as president ended. So, like I said, I wasn't just tossing bombs out there for radio. He's a dictator. He's not an elected official. He has banned the opposition party. He refuses to hold a new election. He is a dictator. He is. So do keep that in mind the next time you hear Democrats or Republicans talking about how we have to fight for freedom and democracy. The democracy and freedom in Ukraine and freedom and democracy. Neither of those countries are democracies. Pink Flower, why do certain right-wing radio personalities always say, we got to follow the Constitution in one breath, and then say, we got to abolish birthright citizenship in the next? Doubt a jarhead can/will answer, but if you do, you don't need to say my name. Just feed the bar. She's hungry. I don't know who you're talking about. I don't know who you're talking about that says that, because I don't... Look, I'm not trying to be coy. I don't listen to other shows. I already listened to the greatest show. And what, Chris? I already listened to the greatest show in the history of radio, so I don't know who says those things. I don't know who says those things. Hey, Jesse, did you ever have the privilege of meeting Andrew Breitbart while he was still alive? Sadly, he passed away before I had my political awakening, but I've spent some time watching his interviews. He seemed to confront opposition in a similar style to how you describe we should deal with communists. He seemed to be very ahead of his time. It's from Vinny. He was very ahead of his time. He would describe what's going on because he'd been one. He'd been behind the scenes, and he knew how evil these people were. And more importantly, he knew what they really wanted. He knew that they really just wanted destruction. He knew that the branding never mattered. The language never mattered. He knew the motivations behind everything they did. And that's why you can go listen to Breitbart in interviews or watch his speeches. He would talk war. He said, no, it's on. You don't understand. You are in an existential struggle for America itself. And if you do not win, you realize that? How about this for up in the stakes? If you and I, if we don't win, America will fall. America, the United States of America, rests on your shoulders. It really does. These people are that evil. That's what they want to bring about. And he got that way before other people got it. As far as meeting him goes, I did meet him, but I can't sit and describe it for you because it would be the lamest description in the world. He had no idea. I was running. Okay, here's what happened. I was running for Congress. I had just started getting involved politically, so nobody knew who I was. I'd never run for office before. I didn't do any media. I didn't have any reputation whatsoever. I ended up at a party by invitation with some donor friends of mine who got an invitation to the party. It was Breitbart was putting out some video or movie, I forget what it was, and Andrew Breitbart happened to be there. So I met him. It was a very, very short, kind of awkward conversation. He was pretty quiet, and he didn't know me from Adam. That's not an indictment of him. He had no idea who I was. I really wish I had some world-changing Andrew Breitbart story to share with you, but I just don't. I met him, though. I didn't meet him. Anyway, so there's that. I will say this. He didn't seem like he was in any pain. I wonder if he was a relief factor guy. He did seem pretty pain-free. And to me, that says relief factor. Whenever I talk to someone and I think, wow, their joints don't hurt. You know, their muscles, they don't seem like they have a lot of muscle pain. You know what? Their neck isn't bothering them. I automatically assume they're taking relief factor. Relief factor's drug-free. You see, it's natural. And what it does, you have pain because you have inflammation. Your body's already trying to fight it. Your body is not winning that fight. That's why you're in pain. What relief factor does is it supports your body's natural response to inflammation. So you take it daily. You don't run and grab it when you're hurting. Every day you take it and you get your body to where it can fight it on its own. It's glorious, glorious. Take Relief Factor for 3 weeks and tell me how you feel. 3 weeks. 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. Try Relief Factor for 3 weeks. I'm telling you, whatever pain nags at you, it'll stop nagging at you. All right, we're going to do this pro-life stuff and then we'll do some other things and then we're getting out of here. Hang on.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. All right, before we get to headlines, I want to do a couple things. Mary Miller, she's a Republican out of Illinois. She was interviewing the education secretary today. Or no, not education secretary, health and human services secretary. Chris, what's Secretary Bacara? No, he is the education secretary. What did I screw this up? Anyway, here's how that went.
You've put out this guidance and doctors do need to know.
Yes.
What are you going to do if they refuse to provide this care?
A doctor, if that doctor has religious objections, that doctor, under these rules, is not required to offer
the
care.
Okay, so you're committing here today that you will not withhold federal funding.
Doctors don't get federal funding, ma'am.
But the hospitals do.
Don't confuse the two.
Okay.
A doctor's not a hospital.
But the doctors are working in these hospitals. Are you going to say today, are you committing that you will not withhold federal funding from those healthcare facilities?
If a healthcare facility is violating the law and not providing the service,
the federal government steals your tax money and they hand it out to hospitals and they won't hand it out to any hospital that refuses to perform abortions. It's not just that your federal government has opened up the border and is importing illegals into your country on purpose. It's that every single thing that is evil and wrong is being gutted, is being facilitated and paid for by the federal government with your tax money. That's the truth. And it's created a culture of death in this country. It's why I will never stop talking about life and why I don't respect people in politics, especially on the right, who cave on the issue. No respect at all. We're fighting against demons. This is what we're up against.
Here I was, sitting in Los Angeles in my beautiful office of my own late night talk show. Soon I would be driving my hybrid car to my beautiful home to kiss my two beautiful and healthy children and my husband, who had taken the year off to parent so I could focus on my career. And I have all of this, all of it, because I was allowed bodily autonomy at 15. I will not be shamed into being quiet. We will not be shamed into being quiet. Never.
I won't be quiet either when I oppose these demons. And I don't care how many elections anyone says it costs us. This is evil. This is evil. This is from Life News, from Democrats. We'll end the filibuster to legalize abortions up to birth nationwide. That's barbaric. Aztecian, if that's even a word. That's evil on a whole nother level. And I do not feel bad about standing against it. I don't now. I never will. It's freaking wrong. All right? And this out of Chicago is just so perfect. One of the things that hits you about communist countries when you watch them is how brazen the corruption gets. Because again, they end up, they kill everyone who opposes them. They kill or intimidate or imprison everyone who opposes them. So eventually they're in control of everything. And the country is just a big bank to be looted. And so they just hand out all these critically important positions to all their friends. Chicago, because they're stupid. All the Democrats in Chicago are so stupid. They got rid of Lori Lightfoot. And then they picked this street activist piece of trash, Brandon Johnson, to be the mayor. And he goes out and finds some dude with no transportation experience. And he puts him as the head of the RTA.
As members of City Council's Transportation Committee learned yesterday, Acri is far from a transit expert. While he grew up using public transportation, Acri told the committee, as an adult, he occasionally uses it downtown. While transportation is facing a crisis, Acri says he needs more information to make any judgments about CTA chief.
He doesn't have any experience per se, but I used to ride the bus when I was a kid. I'm pretty sure I know how these things work. That's just too good.
And now,
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
AMC slaps trigger warning on Goodfellas for cultural stereotypes that are inconsistent with today's standards of inclusion and tolerance. I don't even remember the cultural stereotypes except for a bunch of Italian ones, and Italians aren't even sensitive to that stuff. That's why I give them so much crap. They're not sensitive to that good old-fashioned, old-timey racism that used to make this country go. USA Today says to save America from Trump, Biden must drop out of the race. I'm telling you right now. They're going to give that guy the heave-ho at the convention, and I will own it if they don't. I will own it if they don't. There's no way the system is going to let that guy run. Biden's DEA admits Mexican cartels are operating in all 50 states. The cartels are so ingrained in this society that I can point to you, which I will not, neighborhoods, suburbs in this country, which are cartel headquarters, and the local police know about it. They have American operations. They're essentially Coca-Cola with American offices now. Wild. Wild moment. Driver rams a Lamborghini into an armed robber who stole his Rolex. I'm all about standing up for yourself and whatnot. I really genuinely am. And I hate to sound like Chris here, but doesn't this turn into a math equation at some point in time? I guess I'm unaware of the fancy watch thing. I wear a watch my dad gave me. I'm glad he did. This is a watch my dad gave me 20 years ago, so that's what I wear. How much does a Rolex cost if it's worth ramming your Lamborghini into it? What, Chris? Chris said the car is insured, the watch isn't. Okay, that's a very fair point. But I'm sure there are rich dudes who insure watches and stuff like that. Who does? Either way, I don't know that I would do that. West Virginia trans athlete defeated girls in track events over 700 times, according to the court documents. Well, yes, when you race dudes against women, the dudes are going to end up being faster. Shocking. We'll do this again tomorrow. You can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. That's all.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.